First of all, this evening I want to say how good it is to be here and to be with you here once again for one of your youth rallies. I'd like to thank Colin for his kind words of welcome. I know that there are many of you folk who are interested in the work of Every Home Crusade, and we really appreciate that this evening. And we'll share more about the work in a few minutes with you. First of all, I want us to turn to God's Word. I want to read from Psalm 63, please. Psalm 63. And of course, it's very good to renew fellowship with your minister, Reverend Roger Higginson, once again, who many years ago, I'm not quite sure, many years ago, spent some time in the factory working with us. So he'll be familiar with some of the machines and so on that we'll see later on this evening. But we're going to read Psalm 63, commencing to read at verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouths of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Wonder this evening, as we have come to the meeting and come to the youth rally, how many people here this evening have come thirsty? Thirsty. I don't mean thirsty in the sense that you need a glass of water and you need a drink, but I mean, as the psalmist has been talking here in verse 1, thirsty, my soul thirsteth after thee. Thirsty for God this evening. How many of us have come this evening really thirsty to meet with God, to hear from God, to know God speaking to every one of our hearts here this evening? You know, sometimes it's just so easy just to get into the normal run of things and into the normal routine. And well, yes, we go to church on Sunday. And yes, whenever there's a youth rally, we go to the youth rally. And we get into just a normal routine of doing this, that, and the other thing. And yet this evening, as we've come here, have we come really thirsty? Thirsty to hear more of God's word. Thirsty to be challenged by God's word. Thirsty to hear what God is doing in other parts of the world. Or even just simply thirsty just to know that God's speaking to me this evening. And you know, the tremendous thing is, yes, that God has promised that, yes, if we are thirsty, yes, he will meet us. He will refresh us. Yes, he will pour out his spirit and pour out water upon him that is thirsty. You know, sometimes, you know, even in our Christian lives, sometimes we can get dried up and, you know, just into that routine. Yes, we can become almost useless. You think this evening of somebody in a desert situation, somebody who's hot, somebody who's tired and just craving for a glass of water, something to drink this evening. Friends, is that how we are this evening? Thirsty to hear from God. Every one of us should be wanting to hear from God day by day to know what God is saying to our hearts this evening. And you know, as I've traveled around different parts of the world, yes, I've seen people who are thirsty. Thirsty to hear the word of God. Thirsty to share the word of God. Thirsty, people who are thirsty to really get out there and to reach out with the gospel message to others. Thirsty to use gospel literature. And you know, that was very well illustrated to me a couple of months ago there whenever I was out in Venezuela to see people who were thirsty to get gospel literature and to distribute it. I can remember there was one day we were out with Douglas. There's a fellow out there, Douglas, who looks after our literature, importing the containers of literature, distributing it all across the country of Venezuela. He goes around, he conducts seminars, tells the people how to distribute literature, not just give it out, not just get rid of it, but to talk to people, to share the gospel message with them, and in due course, leave them with a piece of gospel literature. And you know, everything, of course, is in Spanish, and of course, I don't speak Spanish. And it's interesting, whenever you don't speak a language, but you're there. You see a lot more than you would see whenever you actually hear as well as see. I was watching this pastor wanted to get a box of literature from Douglas, and I was watching Douglas, and I could see the pastor at the same time. Douglas standing with a box of literature, explaining how he was to distribute it. And there was the pastor. His eyes were gleaming, and his hands were stretched out, and he was going for that box of literature. And he was waiting patiently. I could just see he was just waiting for Douglas to actually hand it to him. And the more Douglas put that box slowly out as he talked, the pastor's hands went out as well. And then all of a sudden, Douglas took second wind, fresh line of thought came in, and he pulled the box back, and you see the disappointment on the pastor's face. And he had put his own hands back, and he waited, and again, the hands slowly moved out again, and slowly the box got into the pastor's hands. Man who was thirsty for gospel literature. And I've seen, as we travelled around Venezuela, just what God is doing in that land. We went down to a city called San Fernando, and when we were down there, we visited one pastor, a man who started a church 15 years ago in that city. A man who has now 100 daughter churches from the first church that he started. And again, they have a big children's work. Every week they conduct 35 different children's clubs in and around the city. They have 45 adult Bible study groups in and around the city as well. We actually went to one of those Bible study groups. It was a little bit intriguing because when we arrived, we discovered the man actually spoke English. And this was quite unusual for us to find somebody that actually could speak English. And this man spoke English. And there he was, ready to conduct an adult Bible study group with one of our set of children's Bible lessons, you know. And he immediately started, he says, "Have you ever seen material like this before?" He evidently had no idea who we were. He says, "Have you ever seen material like this before?" We tried to say, "Yes, this is our literature." It wasn't twigging. And he started in and gave us a whole explanation about it. And we eventually got across, "Yes, we printed these lessons and we sent them to you." And eventually got the message. And then he was all excited. He turned out to be a missionary himself, working down in the south of Venezuela in the Amazon region amongst the Indian tribes. He says, "We're using these lessons to teach the Indians the Word of God." And that was encouraging for us just to hear that little snip. One day we went away out into the what they call the Savannah Territory. A very, very, it was, well, you know, we talk about the middle of nowhere. Well, this really did give you the feel of the middle of nowhere. No roads. There wasn't even dirt roads. There was only dirt tracks. And we bounced our way along. And eventually we stopped at this little house. Whenever we stopped at and looked right out, and it was all flat, there wasn't another house in sight. And yet there was two other men there, and these were both, all three were pastors. This was a pastor's house, and the two other men. One of those men actually had travelled in an hour on a mule to get to meet with us, and all to get a supply of gospel literature. They told us that this senior pastor that started the church of the city years ago travelled this whole region on horseback, preaching the word of God. People didn't like it. Instead, what they tried to do, they even tried to kill the man. But eventually they began to listen. Eventually, people started to trust the Lord to be their Savior. Today they say in that Savannah area, there's about 90% of the people are evangelical Christian people. You know, it's interesting the situations you get yourself into, you know. We arrived at this house, and it wasn't just like one of our houses, you know. It was one of these places, like, there was no front door, no back door. There was doorways, and the hens and the chickens and the ducks all were running in and out, and they came into the house and all. But they had a big meal prepared for us, and one of the things they had for us was piranha fish. That was a little bit unusual. And then there was other things on the table, other types of meat, and, well, I don't know quite all the things, but there was, afterwards, the lady of the house, she told us, she says, "You know," she says, "I knew you folk were coming." And she says, "I knew," and she says, "There's birds in this area, wild birds, and we catch them and have them for dinner and so on. But," she says, "I wanted some of those birds for the dinner." And she says, "There hasn't been any birds for the last 3 or 4 days at all have appeared in the whole region." She says, "I don't know where they went." And she says, "Last night," she said, "I got so desperate." She says, "I got down and I prayed, and I prayed the Lord would send the birds back." And she says, "When I got up this morning, the birds were here." And she says, "We caught two of them and we had them on the dinner table for our meal." So the Lord had answered that lady's prayer. One other day we went to one of the prisons. And again, when we went to this prison, they actually had their own church within the prison. We arrived about 10 o'clock in the morning. There was about 70 to 80 prisoners there. All men, and they were singing. And you hear singing? I haven't heard singing like it for a long, long time. Those men were singing right from the very depths of their hearts. And you know, the funny thing, a strange thing I should say maybe, is they actually have their own pastor and all in the prison. And he, of course, is one of the prisoners as well. So a little bit, you know, a little bit different. But they have their own services and so on. We left them a supply of literature, talked to some of the folk there. I can remember there was one, there was three fellas came to us. They said, look, said, can you pray for us? We want to trust the Lord to be our Savior. We took them, gave them the Gospel of John, took them through the introduction, 7 steps to knowing God, and shared the Gospel with them, prayed with them, and left them with the pastor there in the church. But, you know, it's interesting to see evangelism taking place. We're out on the streets of Caracas. This is the capital. And this was literally just about an hour before we left. But we were out with a team. They were just talking to people, giving out the Gospels and so on. I was intrigued watching people talking, people very open and willing to listen and so on. And then the next thing, I seen 4 guys coming up the street. 4, you know, about the 15-year-old sort of teenagers, you know. School uniform. And I thought, this will be interesting to see how they react and see what happens here. And I sort of expected what you might expect here at home, you know, a few smart comments and walk on with a laugh. But no, it didn't happen. Those 4 guys stopped. They stood and they listened. The fellas shared the Gospel with them for maybe 5 minutes. They talked, they asked questions, answered, took Gospels and went on their way. And I was intrigued just to see the openness of people there for God's word. Don't want to talk about Venezuela too long. I want to cover a few other countries. I think of Brazil. I was out there in October. We have our own depot there now. This past year we shipped 5 container loads of literature to Brazil. I was out there. I went to a missions conference when I was out there. A bit like here, missionary convention conference, but 1,600 people from all across Brazil. One of the things that was big and different, well, of course, they had mission stands. We have mission stands here at home. But they had mission stands. And sometimes when I go on these mission stands, you know, at home here, I think, you know, we're doing well when somebody comes and speaks to us and stands and talks to us for a couple of minutes and shows a little bit of interest. Out there, it was very different. A horde of people attended those stands. You know, I looked at the stand. It was quite a wide stand. It would have been wider from here to probably from the end of the platform, right across. There was layers, 3-4 layers of people deep, all trying to see literature, all trying to get literature. You know, every time there was the slightest break between meetings, place was inundated with people, all looking, getting literature. Over the few days of that conference, we moved 2.2 ton of literature off the stand. And many other people were coming to us and saying, look, we're on public transport, we can't carry quantities home, we'll send in our request whenever we get back. It just showed me a little bit of the eagerness with which the Brazilians are out there to evangelize and reach their own people with the gospel message. But you know, at the same time, as the gospels go out, yes, God does take it up and God uses his word. Pastor in the Philippines, down in the south of the Philippines, Cebuano-speaking area. There he was. This pastor got a box of Gospels of John. And what he did with those Gospels of John, he invited a lot of non-Christians in for a Bible study. He gave every single one of them a copy of the Gospel of John, and then he started to conduct his Bible studies. He took as his Bible study the introduction, 7 steps to knowing God. And every week he just took 1 step, and he had a Bible study on each step. So for 7 weeks he had Bible studies. At the end of that time, there was 40 folk came and trusted the Lord to be their Savior. He went back to his superintendent and told the superintendent, look, this is what we did in our church. This is the result. So the superintendent was really encouraged. He says, right, we must do this in all our churches. So they decided to go. They needed more Gospels of John. They went back to the folk that the original box came from. They said, can you please supply us with 400 boxes of Gospels of John with 400 churches? They folk wrote to us again. They needed some more for their work. So they wrote and they said, can we have 600 boxes of Gospels of John in the Cebuano language? Well, we haven't sent all 600 boxes because, as I wrote and told them, I said, look, there are a lot of other groups within the Philippines. They need supplies of literature as well. We've just a couple of weeks ago, we shipped that container of literature off to the Philippines. There's something about around 150,000 Cebuano Gospels of John in that container. So they'll have to share that out amongst them, but it gives you just a little bit of a glimpse, a little bit of an idea what God is doing in that part of the world. You know, at the same time, there are many other requests coming in. This little booklet here called Meet the King, we printed for Child Evangelism Fellowship in for Romania last year. Claire Bain was back. Last year, they put this into every home in Bucharest. And this year, she said that triggered many other pastors into the whole idea of visiting every home. And they came to Linda, they said, or to Claire, and they said to Claire, look, we would like to put this into every home in our town, every home in our village, and so on. And she said, she came back, she says, can you give us another 500,000 of these to cover a lot more of these towns and villages? Linda Curry, a few months ago, visited me as well. She's working in Moldova, and she said, look, I want to put this booklet into every home in Moldova. I looked at her, I says, how many homes is that? She says, 800,000. I says, Linda, when are you thinking of doing this? She says, well, Easter or Christmas? Well, I says, not Easter, because we couldn't print them in time. So we said Christmas. So that just gives you a little bit of a glimpse. We've already printed this in Polish, French, Estonian, Basque language. We've now to print now also in the Spanish language, in the Russian language, and so on. These are the openings for just this particular little booklet itself. You know, as I think of that, you know, I also think of, you know, as I come back to this whole thought line of as to thirst and so on. What did Jesus say whenever in Mark's gospel? He said, whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, yes, he shall not lose his reward. A cup of water, it's not very much. A glass of water is almost worthless, it's almost valueless. What value do you put certainly on a glass of tap water? It's almost valueless. You know, in some ways you might say the same as far as the gospel tract is concerned. It's just a little bit of paper. Just a little small bit of paper. But that little bit of paper can transform and can change a person's life, just as a glass of water can to a person that's dying of thirst. You know? And God says, yes, there will be a reward. There's a reward for the person who's paid for that gospel tract to be printed. Yes, there is a reward for the person who's prayed that the Lord will bless that gospel tract. Yes, there's a reward for the person that gives that gospel tract out. And yes, God does promise a blessing. And yes, those gospel tracts, those gospel booklets. This past year, as we look at the factory in Belfast, we used over 1,000 tons of paper. I know it's very hard to grasp what one ton of paper looks like, but 1,000 ton this past year. That's 56 million pieces of literature. And now today we are faced with an enormous number of openings and opportunities. That's why we have a new factory underway at the moment. We're in the middle of purchasing additional machinery to put into that factory so that we, now in another couple of months, will get moved, get that factory up and going so that we can put out more literature in order to reach out to many more precious souls with the Word of God. These are the openings, the opportunities that we have today. I would just ask you to please continue to pray for us. Please continue to pray. There are some of our newsletters out in the porch there, so you feel free to help yourselves to those afterwards. I should have mentioned one other leaflet. This is a leaflet that we printed recently there. We put this into every home in the Republic of Ireland. So that was 1.82 million of these leaflets have gone out. Please pray for these leaflets. They've been going out. The folk that have been actually looking after the delivery and all, there's a bit of confusion at the moment. They reckon some of them have not been delivered, even though the company that's doing the delivery says they have been delivered. So pray that wherever these leaflets are at this moment in time, that every single one of them will get out and into the homes of Ireland. Already a number of people have trusted the Lord through this leaflet. Many others have gone on to a website to do Bible correspondence courses that have been offered on the leaflet. So please pray for this. This has been a big thing as far as we have been concerned. We're really interested to see God's word going out across the Republic of Ireland.